And welcome to the Brant Advocate Podcast, episode 11. Today I have the pleasure of having a very interesting experience with Robert Levine. Robert is quite a gentleman. He runs a podcast himself out of the community with a worldwide audience, a great, great podcast. I've had the pleasure of being on several times. I'm actually on it right now, so you might be listening to the Brant Advocate Podcast, but you might also want to start listening to something called the Social Business Hangout. And right now we're doing an Inception-like thing where this podcast is incepting his podcast, and so we're actually kind of multiplaying. So if you want some additional content, we talked for about 7-8 minutes before this podcast, and his podcast will actually roll right into this one. So, Robert, introduce yourself for the folks at the Brant Advocate Podcast.
Hi, I'm Robert Levine, and I'm the host of the Social Business Hangout Podcast series. And that has been on podcasts on iTunes for over, 2 years now? And we are recording our 85th podcast right now.
That's amazing. We're also recording it in video. Where can people check out the video of us too?
Be on the YouTube channel as well.
Perfect. So, Robert, I wrote a piece in the Brant Advocate about Brantford in Your Pocket, this idea of podcasts and my love of podcasts. And I think there's only, as far as I know, two podcasts right now in town. One's yours and one's ours here at the Advocate. And you've done a lot of work with the Advocate in the past. You've helped us out with our social media and our strategy. You've been a great resource for that as well. But talk about your interest in podcasts. Why podcasts?
Well, I think, as mentioned in your article, both of us kind of got into podcasts via Kevin Smith to a certain degree. And I think his live event in Brantford is kind of a milestone for both of us, saying, hey, if he can do it, if that fat man could do it, these two fat men can as well.
I even grew the beard.
Exactly. And, for me, though, it was a bit different. Most podcasts are a person in their basement in front of a mic basically ranting, raving, or educating, right? And then we have the ones like this, which are taking place at a train station.
Which you can hear the train behind.
Exactly. Us. And, people knocking on the door, the list goes on. So there's variety of podcasts, but the ones that I decided to do is I wanted to have members of the community involved, because not being from Brantford, I don't know Brantford. And you've seen this through the variety of interviews that we've done and so forth. It was my way, to network in the city via the podcast. And what better way than to ask people, what are you passionate about? And let them talk for a half hour. And, some people need a bit more prodding than others, and some just flow naturally,
It's great when you get that natural flow, though, right?
Yeah.
I look at it as an opportunity for, not an interview, but a conversation.
Yeah.
And I think sometimes we're in a bit of a conversation deficit when we look at our media. And there's lots of media in Brantford, but a lot of it's the traditional reporting, newspapers and the rest. There's some radio, but radio doesn't have 35 minutes or 22 minutes or 12 minutes. They have a very strict format.
Yeah.
I love radio, but that's just the truth of it. It's 3 minutes in.
Commercial breaks are where they are. The commercial intros are where they are. It has to be exactly this time. Whereas, as you say, you stop recording when you stop recording.
That's it. Figured out. Wow, there's somebody.
There's actually someone.
The door,
it's too late. The doors are closed.
The doors are closed.
Close set.
I'm so curious as to what they might want. Maybe that's a social worker in me, like, what can we help? What can we do? But I love this piece with podcasts, just letting it free flow. And I think I've listened to a lot of your 85 podcasts, and I've been really impressed.
Oh, you've been on a few of them, to say the least.
Yeah, I've been on a few. I think it's interesting because my understanding is you have a pretty decent worldwide audience, and people in Brantford, I've said this over and over again, I think sometimes we suffer from a self-esteem problem, and if we knew that we have all this knowledge and experience and interesting stories that people in a worldwide setting might appreciate and enjoy, I think your podcast exemplifies that. So you maybe talk about that case?
Yeah, I've always, the podcast has evolved, as I said, 85, so the podcast episode number one versus the episode 26 versus episode 36, they've changed, and I actually break them down in what I call podcast albums, and that's just a project code for me. So, the first podcast album was the first 25 episodes, because I had very much a what's on your mind, Brant, because it was more I'm new to the community, what do you want to learn about?
So then the outsider trying to look in.
Exactly. Then it became the next album was Made in Brantford. That's when I started going more into what is Brantford, right? Getting those stories, and then it just really opened up.
Yeah.
And to your point, there's no shortage of keywords, and I'm a big keyword guy, as you well know. The idea is to have 200 podcasts with 200 distinct keywords all linking back to me. You know, that's SEO in a nutshell, right? But it's one of those things where when you look at it as an ecosystem, you know, the best example I had was we were doing a series of podcasts. These were back to back to back. And it was, I think it was Sid Bolton talking about Star Wars and Star Trek and his collection. And then
doesn't sound like Sid.
Exactly. And then we had Alex talking about hoarding.
Oh, Alex. Okay. Alex Felsky.
Exactly. And you know, so now it's like, well, is it a collection or is it a hoard, right? And then right after the week after that, so this isn't a 3 week
period. Sid's is a collection. I've been to his.
It's very much a collection.
It's not hoarding.
And then the third was then mental health, right? So we then segued from hoarding to mental health, right? Well, so the hoarding episode was mostly about organizing, but then we touched about hoarding. And the follow. So I'm finding that as I'm doing more within the city, the relationships between the people, the needs, all of a sudden this product leads into this product, and the links. And at the end of the day, when you take a look at a sample of 200 key areas within an economy, and you understand how that economy works, that's a blueprint for commerce. Mm-hmm. And I didn't set out to do that. I always had a background plan in my mind, and you never share them in the early days because it's like, you crazy man. You're going to
do strategy, you do strategy.
Exactly. But the strategy was always at the very to be known and to know, right? And I think I've achieved both of them, but what really surprised me was how much when I take a look at a population of 99,000, and I'll always say 99,000, not 98 or 100. Exactly. And when you look at a population of 99,000, that could be an organization. Dell is about 100 grand, or another city. And a lot of what you learn about, you know, hoarding, mental health, collections, you know, just those three, reproducible anywhere in the world. And I think when you talk about the worldwide audience, there's the audience that exists right now, but all of this content's evergreen, right? So someone coming across the collection, or my hoard, for lack of, you know, my digital hoard, will be able to look at that and go, wait, this is valuable to me now. And I think this is the point about podcasts is there is the live aspect. I do record it in front of a live audience. There is the fact that it's recorded. You can watch it and listen to it that week. But I'm honestly more excited about the peoples that are going to come across 200 of these 5 years from now. And be able to look at it as a complete ecosystem once all that research and stats and all that is figured out and really have that contextual drive behind it. I think that's the real story. And that I think, is what gets me doing more and more and more.
Flying, right?
Yeah, because at the end of the day,
podcasts are addictive.
Oh, they are. They truly are. Like I said, I remember when I reached 25, I celebrated that. And then next thing you know, I'm celebrating the 75th and this is the 85th. And, you know, I'm really got certain plans for the 99th, and I'm sure you can figure out what I'm going to try with that one.
I have a feeling I might know, and people can guess, I'm sure.
Yeah.
I was just looking on my Twitter. I'm trying to find his handle, but I can't find it. But I had a gentleman who taught me quite a bit, and his name was Phil Doucette, Philly D. And I used to work at a camp called YLCC. You can check it out. Check out my buddies at YLCC Stu, or at Stu YLCC. I can't remember right now. But you can tell this isn't too prep because I can't remember the Twitter handles. But he used to say something that I think really relates to what you're saying, which is seek first to understand, then be understood.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you really took that. And it's tough sometimes, right? You come from another community, and it's like when you're in grade school, you know, and it's first day of kindergarten, you want to hold on to your mom's leg, but you go on the bus, and by the time you get to grade 8, you kind of figure it out, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then you're back in high school, and you're kind of anxious, and all those grade 9s are always hanging out with their old grade 8 friends for the first couple months of school. And then by the time you get to grade 12, or to date us, OAC, you know, you kind of figured it out.
Oh, I'm older than you.
Oh,
go even
so
further.
Grade 13, right?
Grade 14.
Grade 14, oh my goodness.
I'm a proud graduate of grade 14.
Oh.
I had to do 13 twice.
Okay, no worries. And then you get to whatever, the college, university, the working world, and it takes a while to figure it out. And it was so cool getting to know, hey, I'm this guy from Toronto. I know a bunch of stuff about that realm, and I know a lot about a lot of things, but Brantford's kind of different. So what have you learned about Brantford?
It's definitely rich in history. There's no denying that. There's a lot of history that defines people in a certain way. And I think a lot of what I've seen is people are slowly starting to break out of that mold, you know, a lot of it being that factory mold, right?
A literal mold, right?
Yeah, in this particular case. Yeah, so a lot of people, especially the ones that have come on the podcast, tend to be the ones that have already started that transition. Mm-hmm. So I'm starting to get a sense for where that entrepreneurial spirit is changing Brantford.
So the digital entrepreneur.
The digital entrepreneur, exactly. And you know, like I said, that we are in Telephone City. You know, I also do the live to airs on Google Hangout, yeah. You know, and a bit of a segue there. But, you know, I did one, two, three of them, actually, out of Paris, France. So here's Brantford, Ontario calling Paris, France for free, yeah. Live video, okay? And this is Alexander Graham Bell originally calling Paris, Ontario, which is, you know, 10 kilometers from here, and that was considered long distance, and Lord knows what that would have cost. Yeah. So, you know, we're in that world where a story from Brantford can resonate with someone in Indonesia. Mm-hmm. And that person in Brantford can truly impact what that person in Indonesia does or elsewhere. And I think most people in Brantford have been held to that mindset of my opinion or my knowledge is not relevant or no needs to be known outside of the comfort of my wall.
That self-esteem issue. Right?
Exactly.
Sometimes we suffer as a community from low self-esteem.
And that's whenever you hear about people talking about the bad side of Brantford, and as a social worker, you know this as well, the self-esteem comes into play. And when you look at Maslow's hierarchy of needs, and you know it well, you're not going to get to self-actualization unless you've got a job, unless you've got food, unless you've got love, you know. I keep forgetting, what's the fourth one? It's self-actuality.
Yeah, exactly. I looked it up 2 weeks ago. Actually.
Exactly. It's one of those things I believe in deeply, but I've kind of got my own little structure, but it's the same concept. You're not going to have that upper level conversation. And I think what a digital entrepreneur is able to do in many ways is build structure on that pyramid without all the original costs. I don't have to have a major infrastructure to be able to do a live to air to Paris, France. And now I can take that money and invest it in something else, right? If you want to become a better speaker, do 85 podcasts. I used to hate, and I still do, I used to hate my voice, and I used to hate to smile. Now, you know me fairly well now. Could you imagine me? Yeah, exactly.
So you have a great smile. I remember writing something on your Facebook wall and Karen, your partner, going, I agree. Like, so I wonder if she kind of...
Well, like I said,
I
remember... Well, no, Karen hasn't known me that long, and she only knew me without the smile, to be honest. But it was actually, in many ways, it was Brantford that really taught me to smile. Because when you ask me, what did I learn from all these things, is people are just people.
Yeah.
Okay, they have something they're passionate about. They have something that they're knowledgeable about. And for the most part, if you can tap into that knowledge, it's something that other people at the end of the day will hopefully get value out. And it might not be on a one-to-one podcast. You may have to listen to 5, 10, whatever. But I'm under no illusion that there's, with the exception of the person at this table, that one person in the world that's listened to all 85. You know what I mean? I'm sure there is. I don't look at the stats at all. Actually, I have very minimal stats on the way I do it.
Okay.
So,
but I want to do something a little advocate related. Now, I want to pitch you on an advocate story.
Go for it.
I think you should write, which is, it was Brantford that taught me how to smile.
And, that's an interesting one, actually.
I think I would love to see that. I'd love to print that because you know, you've been doing this social research.
Yeah.
In a very unique way. I think we're a lot of people in the community were part of the museum and archives storytelling. They're doing this recording of people and the stories of Brantford and Branton. I thought that was great. I participated in it fully. And I have a feeling one day podcasts can be a part of that oral history.
I would not be surprised if my collection of Brantford interviews actually rivals theirs.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the that's the formal historical society doing it, right? And here's some Joe Schmo
DIY,
you know, because at the end of the day, do you want to talk about something you're interested in deeply? Yes.
Yeah.
And once you get them past that hurdle, good luck stopping them for a half hour.
So let's talk a little bit about podcasts before
we
close up the Advocate podcast. And I want to talk to you a little bit about what podcasts are you listening to? What would you recommend to folks?
Miss Joel, every single time.
Miss
Joel's 6 Pixels of Separation. It's my favorite. It's actually my go-to on all counts. And the reason for that is Mitch does something very similar to me. And well, his podcast has evolved over the years as well, but he interviews authors. And you know, I've had the pleasure of actually interviewing Mitch Joel on my very podcast. So, you know, like...
That must be pretty...
It is. Because Kevin Smith and Mitch Joel pretty much represent the dual catalyst. You know, one's the mother, one's the father. You know, or they're both fathers in this case. But, you know... apropos given what happened.
Mama's got a beard.
Yeah. So, you know, at the end of the day, to be able to have interviewed Mitch was great, but he said something in the interview that I did with him, which resonates with mine, is, you know, he does it for his own value. He's like, hey, can I rope someone for a half hour and learn everything I need to know about their recent book?
The microphone just becomes an excuse.
Exactly, right? And I took that along the same way. You said the word social researcher. Never thought of it that way, but yeah, that's fundamentally what it is. And I think I gravitate more towards the social researchers. I know, and Mitch would be along that category. I know others, however, tend to go more for the shorter podcasts. Mine tend to be the verbose ones. I tend to really enjoy the 45-minute, because that's about what I do for a run. So I literally start my run, and I know it's 45 minutes.
I look at them the same way I look at counseling, is it can be as long as it needs to be.
Yeah.
You know, and some of them need to be 5 minutes. Some of them should be five. Some of them should be 40. And that's what I kind of love, is unlike a lot of other media where it's 1,000 words or 3 minutes until commercial or whatever, this is way more free flowing.
Yeah.
I love that aspect.
And to your point, if someone wants to pause it and skip or not care or whatnot, it's up to them, but it's all there. Why stop a good conversation? Even if it goes a bit further than needed to, at least you got everything you needed. To me, it's the ones, and I've had maybe two of them where I've had technical glitches where I've lost the podcast. Those ones bother me. And then there's, as you say, the ones where, you know, bringing up the one with Mitch, it was originally going to be a 5-minute podcast. You know, he had just finished his speech. Come on in. Tell me what your talking points were, and we're done, right?
Yeah.
But, you know, next thing you know, there's CC Chapman, there's John Morgan, and there's Mitch all standing there. And Mitch goes, well, let's do it together. So we're, you know, 10 minutes into the podcast, and I'm like, well, I'm not going to do this in 15 minutes. This is actually pretty spectacular. In walks, you know, Scott Stratton. So now I've got Scott, John Morgan, CC Chapman, like all best-selling authors. So I'm like, this could be an hour if I wanted it to, right? And I wish it could have gone on for an hour.
Yeah.
You know, there's nothing stopping me there.
But I think that's great. And I think when people look at some of the fascinating stories about podcasting, and again, I do want to talk about podcasting in general. So I'll out myself as a bit of a geek, but you look at somebody like Kevin Smith, and you know he does some of his podcasts because they're very successful, and that's great, and enjoys them. But then he starts doing these niche podcasts like The Fat Man on Batman.
Yeah, oh, those were amazing.
They're amazing. Yeah. They're incredible. And you know, I don't have the time to listen to every smodcast there is, but I've made sure to carve that niche out because that's something that interests me. I think about somebody like Colt Cabana, who's a wrestler who was fired from the major company, the World Wrestling Entertainment, and said, oh, what am I going to do? And he started doing podcasting, and it's literally him and another person, and he has segments now.
The train. You can barely hear it!
That's right. They're like old prospectors in the Yukon.
Yeah.
But he's turned that into a lucrative business catalyst for him. Now he gets more bookings, more money, more sort of niche in that, more cachet, I should say, in that niche market to sustain
himself. Well, you've seen it with Facebook, with Twitter, with YouTube. All of these, they're not niche markets anymore, but there was a time when they were niche, where people, you know, were C-list actors or B-list celebrities or whatnot, and all of a sudden they're back. You know what I mean? Will Wheaton, you know, prime example. Most people know Will now more for what he's done post-Star Trek than have actually seen him do anything on Star
Trek.
Patrick
Harris as well. Most people know him for post-Doogie Howser.
Exactly.
That's part of his narrative, right? But I think about the folks, and there's no reason Branford can't be like this. I think about guys like John Suntris from Work Balloon. There's so many. And I'm not going to name them all, but the guys in Toronto at Live Audio Wrestling and TSN Radio, like, it's very doable. And and yes, we have the big Yeti mics. We got matching mics. I really like yours and thought the sound quality was
awesome. Oh, it's an amazing mic.
But you can do this on your phone. You can do it on a little headset. You can do it in so many different ways.
And you don't need to have the pre-intro and the post-intro. Like, I didn't start adding the intro and the outro until episode 47. You know, so that's and let's be honest, most podcasts end after 10, let's say. So I literally put in 4 times more podcasts without any overhead before I said, you know, maybe I need a little bit of music and whatnot.
And the reason actually I do that is, again, for my own interest. A lot of people don't know this, but I was a video editor for years. and I don't often get to do the editing. And I, there's a part of me that loves seeing an editing console, whether it's video
all the layers and the tracks.
It's like a puzzle. It's like trying to fit it together. And I love actually kind of working with the limitations of some of the editing programs, because you have to be creative. And at times editing can be an art, mm-hmm. and at times editing can be a trade.
Yeah.
But that's something that I did for me, because I'd like to do that. And there's no reason why we can't. Well, now one of the things I want to start doing is on this podcast, and I'm going to throw the shout out here, is local musicians.
Yeah.
Submit your stuff, and I'd be happy to play it as the intro and the outro. And I think there's room for that to help promote other artists. And
I totally agree. I would rather have a local musician plays something out at the end. And I know Miss Joel does it as well. Every one of his podcasts ends with the same song. And I think it's just in that particular case he reached out and got the rights for it.
Sure.
But in the early days, he would just, you know, when Dio died, he had Dio on for weeks, you know, and stuff like that. But to me, the one thing that I also do that I find helps is the intro and the outro are pre-edited, right? Yeah. So I've got the clapping and the music and all that's been mixed, and I've got a one file, one track version of it, so I don't have to worry about it slipping.
Great for editing.
But I do the voiceover for the beginning and the end every time.
Yeah.
So I re-record so I re-record the welcome, and I re-record the thank you to my guest. This was recorded on this date. And just saying that over and over again has enabled me to get comfortable saying the Social Business Hangout podcast series, Social Business Mentor, you know, just that verbiage, because that's stuff I used to introduce myself. I no longer go around there introducing myself as, hi, I'm Rob, blah, 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 blah. It's like, hi, I'm Rob, I'm the host of the Social Business Hangout, because there's been such a body of work that body is now self-defining.
That's great.
You know, regardless of the audience.
I think one of the things when I listen to podcasts is, like, this might sound odd, but when I listen to the Word Balloon podcast, I listen to his little pitch at the beginning about, hey, I have a tip jar online if you want to, because that's part of the experience, or Kevin Smith's intro and outro, and the Fat Man on Batman podcast. There's some. Cole Cabana's. I literally, like, it's that repetition that I actually look for. I want all the new content, but I want him to say, live from the studio, apartment. There's a part of fandom, right? There's that piece of, like, I can say it with the person, you know? And maybe you don't actually say it, but you get a little kick out of hearing it. Adam Carolla was really good at that. Certain skits you'd want to hear again on his podcast, because, and you wanted to hear the same Name Game song, because you didn't hear it all the time, but you just wanted to hear it. And you wanted to sing along.
It needed to be part of the set list, if you will. You play around with the set list every time, but you always have the few things that are in there. And something you brought up there is I'm almost at that point now where the wording of my intro is pretty much scripted. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't have a script in front of me, but it's like three sentences. I could easily remember it. But I want to start having fun with the intro now. Mm-hmm. So I'm actually at a point now where I'm actually maybe re-looking at my intro and outro music to have something maybe a bit longer at the beginning, so that I can do a bit of a wind up. Right, trying to repeat the top 10 things that are about to be talked about. Make it more why you should be listening to it, as opposed to just assuming that the person's going to click it. And I think that's an important thing, regardless, whenever you do the marketing around something, is what.
The mind.
Yeah, exactly. Right. And I don't do that part well, because I'll be honest, it's I'm already on to something else, right? It's recorded. I'll listen to the beginning. I'll listen to the end. I'll make sure the sound levels are all set and whatnot. But it'll take me normally a week or so before I can actually listen to that interview again. And the live-to-airs are even worse. I can't listen to myself for an hour anytime. That's just too painful for me. But it's like why actors don't watch their movies. You can't do it.
Well, I think podcasts have been a long time coming to Brantford in the area. I think they're awesome. And maybe I'm being a little self-promoting, because yours and I are the only two that are around.
That we know of.
And I hope to hear more of them.
If they're interested in starting one, you got The Advocate as a perfect platform to get. Because I remember when you and I first, when I was like thinking of doing it, it's like, well, how do I submit this to iTunes, right? And you use Podomatic, if I'm not mistaken, which has it all in there.
An audio boo, you send it right.
Whereas I self-write the XML myself.
Oh, really?
Which is interesting, to say the least. You know,
I don't have those skills, so I wouldn't be able to do that.
There's about 20 lines of metadata that I have to fill out for every episode. And that's from the description to the authors to the keywords. The list goes on. And I can understand why a lot of people couldn't get into it, because they'll get hung up on the distribution aspect. Yeah. Recording is easy. Editing it for sound spikes. Okay, now you get it. You can learn, exactly. And it's good practice, but you need the time. Most people, they want to have that little quick record upload.
And which that's where I think you use a SoundCloud or you use an audio.
Exactly.
5 minutes in and out, and those can be really interesting. But that's what it's almost like Vimeo, like just.
Yeah. Look what Hugo's doing right now. He's incorporating SoundCloud into some of his articles.
Sid has incorporated Audio Boo, and Sean Allen had some great Audio Boos. But and SoundCloud has some of that. But there is something, you know, I was talking to some people from the Waterloo University publications today. I said, you know, print is legitimizing, but we're now actually getting to a point where things like apps are also legitimizing. Being on iTunes is legitimizing. Like there's a sense of, oh, that's something to really.
When I say the Social Business Hangout is available on iTunes, that's my marquee. Bing. Yeah. Do you? You know, it's like, of the people in this room, well, you know, two of us. But, you know, seriously, you walk into a crowd and you go, yeah, I'm on iTunes.
Yeah. And people actually are, oh, cool. I didn't know that. And there's so much functionality. I mean, putting links and photos and things on actual iPads and iPads.
Well, people also don't think about the SEO side of it as well, right?
No, that's true.
You know, iTunes is right up there. Like, it's Apple. You know, so you want to have your Google, you want to have your YouTube. And, hey, if you can get ranked high on iTunes, you know that that's going to add credibility to whatever domain is hosting the MP3s to start with, and you know, the list goes on. But even how you put the words and the descriptions and the keywords, the metadata is so important to be able to have the entire ecosystem shine.
So to me, and I'm going to wrap up the Advocate podcast.
And then we'll get him back into mine.
So if you want a little bit more of this, check out the Social Business Hangout with Robert Levine. Robert, send out every place somebody can get a hold of you.
rlevine42.com for everything.
Okay, and your home address? No, I'm just kidding.
rlevine42.com. Or as Joe would say, google.com. Yeah. Search Robert Levine, you'll have 100,000
entries. I remember that once at a tweet stock. I went up to Kevin McGee, and I'd seen him here and there, and he was like, I know you. I said, hey, I know you. And I went to give him my card, and he goes, it's okay. We got Facebook. I don't need your card.
No.
And I thought for a second, wait, was he being rude? And I went, no, he's right.
I don't bring cards anymore.
Yeah, you don't need
to.
Add me to Facebook.
Yeah. And you know, like the only time I bring a card is if I'm doing a video shoot and I need to give a card so that the person knows how to find the content. And it's that more of a thank you
or
for.
Or they need to know how to spell your name because.
Or something like that. But honestly, when I go networking now, podcasting is my networking.
Oh, cool.
And at the end of the day, I'm easier to find than the person I'm giving my card to. So.
That's cool. That's actually excellent. So I'm going to wrap it up here for the Brand Advocate podcast. I just want to say this. If you're thinking about podcasts, if you're thinking about downloading podcasts, check out the Social Business Hangout. Check out the Brand Advocate podcast. But realize this. A good podcast does this, in my opinion. And I'm just one guy. It allows you to have that great feeling you have when you overhear a wonderful conversation at a cafe. Without any of the guilt. I'm Italian, so I understand that guilt. But, you know, when you're at Coffee Culture, the station, and there are two or four or five people having an awesome conversation, and you just came in to have your coffee and read, and you almost feel great that you got to be a part of that, podcasts allow you to do that while taking a walk or cleaning your apartment or doing any of the paperwork you need to do, whatever it is. I think podcasts are some of the most intimate possible forms of media, and I want to thank you for, one, having me on your podcast so often, and also for agreeing to be on this one, and for the encouragement you've given as you know, little times I've seen you, hey, that was a really good podcast. Mm-hmm. I really like what you did.
I love the one you did with Phil. I thought that one was hilarious.
Yeah, we talked about not being good calendar boys.
Yeah.
I just want to thank everybody for listening to the Brand Advocate podcast. I want to again direct you to the Social Business Hangout, and this is one of those things where I get a little catchphrase that I love and makes me feel good inside, and hopefully it makes you feel good inside. Until next time, thank you for downloading, thank you for listening, thank you for checking out brandadvocate.com, and until next time, keep on advocating.